Everybody say God's own time. Because it's about his time, not our time. Amen? Okay, man, I tell you, it is a joy to be with you this morning. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, let's just don't rush him. Let's just take him in. How about that? Let's just take him in. Let's just take him in. Just take him in this morning. Absorb the Lord this morning and take him in. Take him in. Come on, just lift your hands to him right now and just absorb the Lord. Because the Lord's presence is here. How many knows he's here? He's here. He's here. That means he's got something in mind when he gathers with his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you have your Bible this morning, let's reverence the Lord and his powerful word. And I'm going to go to a place that you probably... Tell you what, God's challenged my heart to preach some messages here coming up that you're going to have to do a double take, blink. Okay, because I've been challenging the Spirit to really share some powerful things with you. But this morning, a relevant on-time word. But I want everybody to... A reason why I told them to put the cross over here, because I want everybody to reflect upon that cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart were rolled away. How many knows that it's at the cross? It's at the cross where we find the light. At the cross is where repentance and forgiveness. You can't remove the cross. You can't remove the blood. Amen. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Ezekiel. I want you to look in the Word of God with me to chapter 3 in the book of Ezekiel. Everybody say Ezekiel. Okay, well, I know that's a little bit difficult word to say. Everybody say Ezekiel. Okay, Ezekiel was a prophet. Okay, read. He was a man of God, a man of God, a man with a mission. So hang with me. All right, hang with me. So I'm not going to be in your hearing too long. I know, and I'm not saying this to be critical. I know most ministries, they'd already be out, be heading for the burger shacks. I'm not being critical, okay? And I didn't say that to be critical. I'm just saying sometimes ministry here, it just takes a little time. Because it's about his time. It's not about coming here and putting the clock on and saying, God, you've got 1 hour to do what you need to do in my life, and I'm going home, doing my own thing. How many knows that that's not cool? Okay? So, but we're not going to be long. We don't stand to minister long, but I don't suspect that we will be long. Because I don't know really what the Lord's going to do, but I'm going to read some scripture here. Josh, I may have to get you to read it, buddy. Your eyes are better than mine. That means I'm in the age category right now that I got to have super print. And I got glasses, my friend. What about that? So, Mrs. R, you got to make me an appointment. Joyce, I need my glasses changed. Maybe I need stronger bifocals. I may have to in a minute. I'll try. And if I don't, I'll use yours, Cindy. But this is the word of the Lord unto Ezekiel, okay? In verse 7, he says, but the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. That's what the Lord said to Ezekiel. So they won't listen to you because they won't listen to me, Ezekiel. So he said, for all the house of Israel are imprudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces and your forehead strong against their foreheads, like an adamant stone. harder than flint. I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Okay? Don't be afraid of them. Or be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Verse 10. Moreover, he said, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak unto you, and hear with your ears. And go to the captives. Go get to the captives, to the children of your people. And speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord your God. Whether they hear or whether they refuse to hear, go to them anyway. And preach to the captives. Then the Spirit lifted me up. And I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Sounds like John, doesn't it, in the Revelation. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. I also heard the noise of the wings of living creatures, like angels, one from another, and the noise of those beside them, and a great thunderous noise. And this is the two verses I want you to listen to carefully. So the Lord lifted me up, and he took me away, and I went into bitterness of heart of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Say, the hand of the Lord is on me. Then I came to the captives of Tel Aviv, who dwelt by the river of Chebar. And I sat where they sat, and I remained there astonished among them 7 days. You may be seated, okay? You say, Pastor R., what in the world is the significance of this scripture here? I don't understand it. Well, understand that Ezekiel was called to preach to a remnant. Everybody say remnant. There was a group of people who was held captive in the land of Babylon. And so here was a group of people who sat in a certain area in Babylon, known as Tel Aviv. And what that word means is a hump of fruit. So here was a people who were down and rejected, people who were sort of, they were in captivity, they had problems, they were depressed, they had all kinds of issues. Even though they were a familiar people, it wasn't a nation that Ezekiel was unfamiliar with, because if you read in the first chapter and only in the beginning of that other chapter, that it was a familiar people. But he knew the Lord had called him to go and preach freedom to people who were in captivity. Do you know what? That's our mission statement as a church. To preach freedom to those who are captive. In order to preach freedom, you've got to live freedom. You can't preach freedom if you're not free yourself. Amen. How many knows that he come to set the captive free? Jesus come to set us free. So Ezekiel was challenged to go and preach a message of hope to those that were in captivity. I heard Billy Graham tell this story one time, that he shared this story about on the streets of Chicago, or a huge Midwestern city, that this young man came walking down the street and the preacher ran into him, and he was down and rejected, dejected, and he just came out of this church, sort of like a storefront church. And as he came out of this church, this man looked like he lost his best friend. And some of you probably heard this before, and he proclaimed to the preacher. The preacher said, "What's wrong with you, sir?" He said, "Listen, I've been trying to get into this church and they won't let me in." Maybe the man had a lot of problems, a lot of issues, but he said, "I've tried to get into this church, and this church for some reason just won't let me come in." And so as it was revealed to this man that just came out of the storefront church that it wasn't really a preacher, it was really Jesus he was talking to. And Jesus looked at the man and said, "Don't feel bad." He said, "I've been trying to get into that church for 20 years and I still can't get in." I mean, so there are churches that even Jesus can't get into. And you know what? I've thought about this question. What would we do if Jesus really showed up in the person? What would we do? Or how would we respond if the physical presence of Jesus just suddenly appeared and we knew somehow in our heart that it was the Lord? So this morning, it's about opening our hearts. And that's what Ezekiel said. The Lord told Ezekiel, He said, open your heart and receive the words that I have unto you, Ezekiel. And so I'm reminded, I'm going to read a mission statement here. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Luke. We're going to look at some scripture, okay? And if you don't have a Bible, bear with us, okay? We'll read a few scripture, but turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Okay, Luke chapter 4. If you're there, say, ouch and amen. Amen. Okay. These are, you know, the Lord Jesus, and this is found also in the book of Isaiah, the prophet. But, you know, as we read the Word of God, we find that Jesus had a mission when he came here to the earth. He had something that God had placed on his heart to do. There was no freedom to the captive. People were bound in their sins. They were bound by sin. Everybody shout sin. There is a thing called sin. I know we don't like to preach on sin. We don't like to talk about sin because it bothers us. Sometimes it's because we have problems with sin. How many knows that this planet has problems with sin? But I want to say to you this morning, sin is missing the mark. That's what the word sin really is. It's just missing the mark. It's not measuring up to God's standard. It's us missing His standard for our life. It's missing a mark, like missing a target. So Jesus come to reveal by the power of the Holy Spirit, by His presence, He came to uncloak sin. But with the same thing of Him coming, and His mission was to show people their captivity, He didn't stop there. He didn't come and just tell people they had a problem. He came and He became the remedy for their problem. How many knows that sin has a curse? But sin also has a remedy. The remedy for your sin is the cross. The blood. Everybody shout the blood. You've got to be set free from your sin. You've got to be set free from your captivity. Jesus, this is His mission statement. And Rick, this is our mission statement and ministry here. And the Lord was standing on the Sabbath day as He stood. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, the one I said. And as He read out this book, He read as Isaiah the prophet was reading to him or referring to the Lord. And this is found in verse 18, chapter 4. The Lord says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me. Everybody say anointed. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And all eyes, as He said that, were fixed upon Him. Jesus just didn't come to preach that people had a sin problem. He said He come to preach that He knew there was a sin problem. That was His mission for coming. But He came to preach liberty to those who were bound by their sin. Amen. Amen. As I look in this congregation this morning, every person in this room this morning either have been in sin, meaning that you have sinned, or you are a sinner, or you have a problem with sin. There's no way that you could escape that situation because we were born into a sinful, sin-cursed world. And we need freedom from that sin. We need freedom. Or they shout freedom. Isn't it amazing that we like freedom for our own sin, but then we judge other people when they need freedom? Oh, what's wrong with that message? That's sort of a double standard, isn't it? That we want to be free from our own sin, and when the Lord does set us free, we are not inclined to forgive people, others, for their other sin, because we do have a problem with sin. Sometimes we think that our sin is better than other people's sin. It's all sin. It's all a mess. And listen, but there is a deliverer who come to set you free from your mess, to give you a message of hope to those who need hope. That was Ezekiel's job. That was the Lord's job. That's why he came. He came to seek the lost. So this morning, if you have your Bible, let's turn and visit again in the scripture to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Listen, be with me this morning, okay? And be near me, Lord Jesus. I need you. Oh, I need the Lord. Amen. I need the Lord. I don't have this thing figured out, but I do have a stirring. Josh, in my ministry, in nearly 40 years, I've never had such a tremendous burden, pressure on me for people. I am driven in my heart for a tremendous burden, and I've never seen this burden. This burden, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but it disturbs me to the point that I'm concerned about the lives of people. I'm concerned about people who need to be set free from their sin. Jesus was too. Jesus was so concerned about people's sin that his mission became the antidote for that sin when he himself, upon him, as Isaiah said, was laid the iniquity of us all. He bore all of our sin and he went to the cross to purchase our freedom from sin. So if there's anybody that should know something about your sin, it would be Jesus. Amen? So, Luke chapter 7. When you're there, say amen. And there's a few verses here, but we'll start verse 34. The Son of Man hath come, and he's eating and drinking. And you say, look at this glutton and this wine bibber. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. If you look in verse 32, he says, the Lord says, we're like children sitting in the marketplace calling to one another, saying, we played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We mourned for you, and you did not weep. In other words, people didn't get the message here, didn't see what Jesus had really come. There was religious people at that time that did not understand the mission that Jesus came for. There are people in the Orthodox Jewish belief today still looking for the Messiah. They're still going to the Wailing Wall, still doing their prayers and hiding prayers back in the wall, looking for the Messiah. Amen. The Messiah has come. Amen. He has come. He has come to set the captive free. Yeshua has touched the earth. Grace has touched the earth. His blood has washed you and set you free. To set you free from your sin. So this morning, Jesus was called a friend of sinners. Imagine that. Well, we term that as a good term today. Jeremy Camp sung a song a few years ago called Jesus, Friend of Sinners. We like that kind of song. We like to relate to that. But do we really relate to the content of the message of what this is all about? Because Jesus wasn't called a friend of sinners by his friends or his disciples. He was called a friend of sinners by his critics and his judges. Because it wasn't cool to hang out with some of the people that Jesus hung out with. It wasn't cool to eat with the tax collectors. You know, we categorize people in their sin, and we put some people's sin above others. Like, you know, we can forgive some people's sins easier than we can forgive other people. But, you know, I could start naming some sins right now that some of your eyeballs would start opening up, saying, you know, I'm not sure about that. All sin is forgivable, except one that the Lord mentioned himself, and we don't want to get into the theology of that. It's blasphemy and of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, we're not going to get into that. But all sin's forgivable. Everybody say all. He came to wash away all my sins. Not a little bit of it, not some of it, but all of it. Everybody shout all. And Jesus did not exclude anybody from the message of grace. and love. He came to all. He came to seek and to save the lost. Those that were hopeless. And some people have a terminology, depending on where you are in the country, in the world, some people have a problem with the terminology of that term. Like lost. I'm lost. Lost from what? Some people don't understand that terminology. That means that you have a sin problem and that you're held captive by it. And it may be nothing more than pride, or it may nothing be more than religion, or it may be nothing more than... I heard somebody say the other day to me, he said, "Really, I don't have a lot of problems, so I don't have a lot to change in my life." But how many knows we all got a lot to change? But it's not you that it's got. You can't be the initial agent of that change. Yes, once you've been set free, then you've got to walk on to know the Lord. And the closer you get to Him, the more you leave behind you. The more you follow the cross and embrace the cross and follow the life of Christ, the more free you become. Amen. Does that make sense? So Jesus come, and He was called a friend of sinners. He came, Jesus came, and Ezekiel said, "The Lord calls me to come and sit where these people sit." You know, years ago, I got to be careful here. Years ago, I taught something in school called collaborative education. Some of you probably don't know what that means. That's okay. But I taught my class was an open sort of forum to all kinds of kids that were needy, special needs kids. So year after year, the principal came, and it seemed like I thought the principal was picking on me, because every year I came up with the most problem kids there was. How many knows that? And I don't mean this in a bad way, because listen, I've been a problem kid myself. Come on, don't look at me like you got it all together. Come on. You've had your problems. But listen, I went to the principal. Selena, I went to the principal because, is Miss Selena here? Oh, yeah, there she is. It wasn't Miss Selena, okay? But I went to a principal and I said, "Miss Selena," I said, please, scratch that. It was another principal. And I said, "Listen, Kathy told me," said, "if it bothers you enough, go to her and tell her," said, "I need a break." How many knows that sometimes dealing with kids with major issue problems, or dealing with problems in general, and I had behavioral issues. I had, you know, I had all kinds of issues in my class, and it was challenging. And there'd be times that I cry. There'd be times that, you know, I'd almost pull my hair out. There'd be times that I'd feel so frustrated and thinking, "Lord, I'm not doing the job." And I went to the principal, and I said, finally, I said, "Mrs. So-and-so, I need a break." And she said, "Mr. Reynolds," she said this, "you know the reason why you get these kids?" She says, "I know that God has equipped you to handle these kids. Because you love them when nobody else will love them." I'm not patting myself on the back. There have been a time that I wanted to, don't say that because I get in trouble. You know, I wanted to do some things to those kids. You know, I wanted to give them a stiff boot, or I wanted to put a, you know what I'm talking about. But the thing is, it changed my mind, because then for the first time in my teaching career, I realized that that was part of my mission field. To reach people that nobody else. Because the teachers would get together, and you think the teachers don't conspire sometimes. They do. And they talk about the kids because they already read the report, and they said, "Well, you know, I can't handle that kid. Let Mr. Reynolds have him." Or, "I can't handle her, so let Mr. Reynolds have him." And they'd all come down the pike, and you know, I took them, and I hope that I affected one of them. But the fact is, I sit where they sit. I had to get down and relate to their issue, because I had issues myself as a kid, and I could relate to their pain. I could relate to their stress. I could relate to their situation. I could relate because I cast myself down and allowed myself to associate and relate to their burdens and the things that they were going to. Listen, and the Lord spoke to my heart this word, and I've always remembered it. You'll never teach kids until you reach kids. You'll never teach people until you reach people. And that means you've got to go outside the bounds of club. You got to go outside the bounds of what's comfortable, what's protocol, what's religiously protocol. You've got to step outside the bounds sometimes of religious bureaucracy and red tape, and you just got to reach out and love people. Listen, God said just to love them. Don't judge them. Just love them. You get them to the cross and I'll take care of the sin. Did you hear what I said? Is this thing working? Get them to the cross and I'll set them free. Excuse the snot and the spit and everything else. I'm burned. Six years ago, the Lord called me out of a comfortable place. I just sat down from worship and praise in a large church in our area. And I sat back there and just out of the blue, I'd never been here before, except years before when it was a church of God in this community that was here for years. But besides that one time, and I think, Jenny, you may have come, maybe not, but some of the youth come, and we came. Mr. Bryant asked me to come, and we came and did a service for youth. But that night, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go down there to Brother Duncan's. I believe he's down there, this church. I didn't plan on it. I just came. I just left. I said, sorry, I have to go somewhere. And I left, and I came down here. And I sat in that back seat back there, one of the back seats. And nobody didn't even probably know me, except for Sister Donna. She sat over there and she sort of waved at me. She pulled her dad over and talked to me. And I hadn't seen the pastor, senior pastor at that time for years. Because when I pastored up on the hill, he used to come up. You know, we were Baptists, but we were still all about the Pentecostal and the Church of God. Amen. They used to call me a troublemaker because, you know, we just mixed it up, you know. Sorry. I didn't have the Holy Spirit thing figured out. I didn't have the tongue thing figured out. But listen, I believed in mixing it up. So anyway, I came and I showed up here. And I believe that night he asked me to say something. And I did. But God changed something because I answered a call. Ezekiel answered a call. You'll never change your world unless you answer the call to be the agent of change. You got to go. And I remember that I would have never figured it out. I would have never figured it out. Brother Duncan embraced me and people loved and things happened. Wasn't always what I thought or what I figured out. But God started me on a journey because I answered a call. I'm saying today, the call of the Lord has to be, it has to be a key thing in your life. You see, Ezekiel came to these people and he was burdened. The Bible said he was really burdened. He was torn up. You know, some of my family have been torn up about the burden they carry for the lost. See, it's not just reaching about the kind of loss that you think that we need to reach. It's about reaching all people. It's about reaching the call. See, it got real quiet right there for some reason. It's about reaching people. Amen. Doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what your past has been. Doesn't matter how you messed up or how messed up you are. The gospel grace is real to you. The Lord just says, bring him to the cross and I'll be the one that delivers and sets the captive free. But we have a tendency in this nation to clean fish before we catch them. Oh, we got the fillet knife down there on the edge of the boat. Do you do that, Josh? But on the edge of the boat, you're down there grabbing those fish and trying to fillet them and cut them up and put them in the boat before you actually even get hold of the fish. We got to learn to go where the fish are, and we got to learn how to skillfully reach. And that means be powerfully creative in ministry. The Lord sent a prophetic word here one night, one Sunday evening, and I remember it. I remember Brother Ernest sitting here, and I remember people being here. And the Lord sent a word, and he says, I'm going to call you to reach communities of people that other people have left out and forgotten. One Sunday morning, I stepped into the door of this church. I pray that you're not bored. I pray if you are bored, I pray the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, would right now move in your heart and give you a little shake, a little powerful shake, and say, wake up! There's something happening here. Walked in that door and a man greeted me, and I hadn't seen that man in years. And some people maybe don't like the man, or maybe, I don't know. But I know when I hear a word from the Lord, whether it comes with a perfect vessel or an imperfect vessel, I respected the word of the Lord, and he gave me a prophetic word. And he said, the reason I'm blessing this ministry is because you're doing what other people's who said, I've asked to do the same thing, and you've accepted the call, and you're reaching those that others have refused to call. That refused those. So you've got to understand, it's about reaching people that sometimes that are not pretty, that are not together, don't have it all figured out. It's about reaching people, but it's about loving the sinner. Jesus came to show his love. His love was demonstrated toward us. There's nobody that can deny that. And that's what we got to understand. Nobody can deny the powerful fact that the Lord came to love people, and he did. So think about this term right here for just a few minutes. We're going to wrap it up. That Jesus was called the friend of sinners. He was called a friend of sinners. Jesus wasn't a friend of their sin. He became associated with what they were going through, which gave him a platform to speak into their life hope that nobody had ever done before him. They said of the Lord in their conversations, never a man ever spake like this man before. When he's around us and he speaks, we're drawn to what he's saying. Because Jesus did not take the platform of condemning people who were already condemned in their sin. Jesus just come to show them freedom and liberty by his own life. You show people liberty and life by your own life you live in front of others. That's why I said earlier, you can't be an agent of freedom if you're not free yourself. So Jesus was a friend of sinners, not because he winked at sin. We have a problem in the church today. We say if we feel like we love the sinner, then we love what the sinner does. God never loved anything that I did in my past. I know he didn't. That's why he died for my sin. He died for my sin. He died for the struggle of my sin. Jesus didn't wink at their sin. He didn't ignore their sin. He didn't condone their sin. Everybody say amen. But Jesus was a friend of sinner. He came to save and save them and welcome sinners who would open their heart to the gospel and be sorry for their sin. And by trusting and putting their faith in Him, change would come. Jesus really does just want a relationship with us. There's nobody more about this relationship than the God who loves us. He cares for us. He's not about some kind of religious little mumbo jumbo that we sometimes get entrapped in. But Jesus is about a real relationship with a real God, a real Savior, a real friend who will stick closer than any brother that you got. When everybody else is left, Jesus will still be standing. Listen, when everybody else writes you off, Jesus will still be standing. Jesus is your greatest fan. I didn't even plan on saying that. He cheers you when nobody else will cheer you. When everybody else says, well, stomp them in the ground, Jesus is down there like old Mick in Rocky's Corner. Come on, Mick, get up. You got another punch in you. Jesus is down there in your corner. Sometimes He has to get in your dirt, Tony. But He's telling you, I'm your friend. Oh, song of the church. I can hear my mom and my grandma singing. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, we don't even hear songs like that anymore. It might be good to us go on YouTube and spin back a few of those old ones. Because there's some anointed people that sung those songs. Boy, I tell you, what a friend I have in Jesus. What a friend I have in Jesus. He'll pick you up. He'll lift you up. He'll get you up. He'll equip you up. Jesus is your friend. He don't love your sin, friend. He doesn't love your sin. So let's don't get confused about that. Jesus isn't happy about your sin, but He loves you. And He's saying, you can bring your sin to the cross, because it's not just about saying you know Jesus, but it's about relating to Him, relational, walking with Him, following Him in freedom, and knowing that Jesus truly is your friend. Turn to somebody and say, He's my real friend. What do you call that in the modern terminology, Grant? He's my real what? BFF. That sounds like a Burger King commercial or hamburger. What is that? What? Best friend forever. Wow. BFF, I got to remember that. Somebody get a design for a t-shirt. We got to remember that. Because how many knows that Jesus is your best friend? He's your best friend. He's your best friend because He does love you. He don't love your mess, but He loves you. So let Him straighten you out. Get you out of your mess. Equip you to walk in powerful freedom. Jenny and my own kids, they've had their own journeys. And I can't talk about Heath because he's not here. But I can talk about her. She was in a mess. A royal mess. Struggled with addiction. Problems in her marriage. Away from God. The party life. Doing her own thing. And when she wasn't coming around, I knew what was going on. God told me what was going on. I wasn't over there like the FBI or the investigators following her. But I know because the investigator lived in my heart. And I know that she was going through stuff. And she'd come and she'd go through the motion and acting all friendly and smiley and chirpy and all that. But down inside, there was a lot of dead bones. There was a lot of issues down inside until the Lord pointed her out one day and said, Jenny, I've got a purpose. I've had that purpose for you. It's about freedom. It's about coming to the cross. It's about finding your way back home. Coming to Jesus, giving your life. Now Jesus is her best friend. And you thought it was Will. Sorry, Will. Jesus is your best friend. 18. Yes, you lost a friend. You lost Wiley. It's hard to replace people we lose in this walk of life. It's beyond our imagination. Oh, Lord, help us. But Jesus is a friend. I found him to be faithful. When no one else was there, I found him to be faithful. Today, I need his faithfulness more than ever. Sometimes a friend will stick closer than a brother. The Bible says, a friend will stick closer than a brother. But you got to know that Jesus became a friend of those people he sat with. He sat in Luke 7. He sat with the tax collectors and the sinners. And they said, does this man not know who he's hanging out with? Wow. I get that from public sometimes. Does this crazy pastor not know what he's dealing with? I don't understand all the dynamics of all this, but I'm just trying to follow a heart of a God who wants us to reach lost people. It's not going to be popular, friend. If you're in a church to be popular, you're in it for the wrong reason. If you're following Jesus for popularity, that you lost that today you come to the cross. Because, listen, although reputation is important to us, although the way we live our life and the way we let our light shine is important, it's not about just owning a reputation. It's not about being Mr. Cool, Mrs. Cool. It's not just about having more people. It's not just about having the biggest this or the biggest that. It's about reaching people that everybody else doesn't want. It's about loving people that nobody else will love. It's about embracing people and sitting with them and relating to their struggle. The sinfulness. Most people know they sin. So the Pharisees walked up to these people and said, you're going to hell. And Jesus revealed the judgment in his own powerful love when he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You've been set free. Most people know that they're lost and they need the Lord. So Jesus was a friend of sinners. He showed that powerful kindness. And that kindness that he showed as he sat with people. Romans, Paul says in 2:4, it's the kindness, the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's loving people and relating people and showing people that you're genuine and real. God uses that kindness to lead people to repentance. Do we want people to repent? Do we want people to believe? Do we want people to change? Then we got to be a friend of sinners. Note this, not a friend of their sin, but a friend of sinners. And if we truthfully, genuinely, authentically reach out beyond our barriers of religion and tradition, and we genuinely love people, then God will work it out. You bring them to the cross, and God will show them freedom. You got to get them here. which is another prophetic word that the Lord said to this ministry. He says, if you bring them, I'll save them. So are you bringing them? Some of you are. Some of you all week long are engaging people on the social media. Use the social media for the gospel, not the gossip. You can't preach the gospel in one breath and gossip in the other breath. You can't get sweet water and bitter water out of the same fountain. You can't get them both of them out of the same fountain. You've got to be real. People is watching your life and they see what's real. Listen, lay off the drama and just be Jesus to people and love them. Amen. So, everybody say friend. When we separate ourselves, we become... When we separate, we become... We don't become what we do. And sometimes we understand that. Paul said that. He said, come out from under the world and be a separate people. We got to understand the dynamic of that scripture and what that means. That means not to partake of what those people do. You can't... You don't want to... Somebody's phone's ringing. Maybe mine. It's mine. Lord, get that call. Just note this. And I've heard people say this. Well, I can hang out with, I can drink with sinners, and I can do this with sinners, and I can do that with sinners, and I'm going to show them Jesus. You're not going to show people Jesus by doing the same things that you're doing. You got to be careful of this. You love the sinner, but you don't love what the sinner's doing. And if you're here young in the faith, you can't necessarily be about that because you're not strong enough in the faith, because the enemy will lay a snare for you. But you got to understand, it's not about us being afraid to walk and where people are. And sit where they sit. Jesus wasn't intimidated by people seeing or background. He didn't care. People stayed away from the lepers. They separated themselves from them. They didn't even go near them. In fact, they didn't go near them in such an intensity that they created colonies, or little gatherings, just for lepers. Do you know we have leper colonies today? Well, I know there's still leprosy, but do you know we have leper colonies today? Do you know that we have people who have been ostracized by religion and pushed aside? So therefore, the gospel is not being preached, and all people see is condemnation. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. Listen, where did the cross go? Where did freedom go? Where did love go? And I'm not saying to love their people's sins or what they do, but I'm saying love the sinner. If I say love the sinner. So Jesus walked into the lepers and he touched them. He touched them where they hurt. Ezekiel sat down with these people and he touched them where they hurt. Jesus sat down with sinners and he touched them where they hurt. In Luke 7, they said to the Lord, after that woman touched him and after that woman came to him and she worshiped him and she broke the alabaster box and she poured it out and she wept before the Lord and she truly repented. There was people in the crowd started talking about that and they started saying, does he not know who this woman is? Do we not know who this person is? Do we not know who this woman is? So we can't be intimidated by people's past, their mess, their struggles, their issue. You sit down where they are and you love them genuinely. And if they truly wrap their heart around the Lord, they'll find the cross. They'll find the cross. And he wasn't intimidated by their leprosy. He wasn't intimidated by their sin. He wasn't intimidated. He was a friend of sinners. Forgive sins. Go and sin no more. Rise up from your sin. Walk in freedom. Go and sin no more. Today he's a friend of sinners. He's my friend. He related to my sin. He stepped into my mess. My life was so messed up. My mess up was messed up. I had issues. When I was married, I had issues. As a young preacher announcing my calling, preaching the gospel, I had issues. Yes, I had Christ, but I had issues. One of the greatest issues that I struggled with was to be free from my sin, my past. You know, there's a lot of people who struggle with that. How can God love me the way I've messed up? I don't understand how God works sometimes. Bobby, I don't understand. I could be all theological and I can say I can understand everything about the cross, but I don't. How this God could love me when I didn't love him. How he could forgive me when I couldn't forgive others. Do you know Jesus today? Do you know him to be your friend? A real friend of sinners? I'm telling you, friend, the Lord has called us to reach the lost. Jesus, there are religious people today. And if one of those people are listening, thank the Lord for you. Because there are religious people today that come to me and get tied up because of the name that this ministry has. Lost Creek. Why would you call your church Lost Creek? Duh. The street going to Lost Creek is called Lost Creek. But I didn't even know that. Thanks to Tiffany. Where's Tiffany? Where's Tiffany? In the back. I didn't even know that the actual physical bridge at that geographical location was a bridge between two communities that have gone through much pain through the years. Amen, Sister Evie. And I didn't know that when we purchased that property. Isn't it something how God works and he just calls this people and he sends them up to a little creek beside a creek that runs out of the High Knob and called Lost Creek and the street's Lost Creek. And I don't even think about that, but then it become catchy. So it gives me an invitation to sit down and share the gospel with the hard heads, the people who just can't see it. And I just simply tell them, listen, Jesus' mission was to seek and to save that which is lost. Has the church forgot that? Church, have we forgot that that's our mission? That's our message to the lost, that they can be set free from their sin and experience powerful grace. So God called us to bridge a community, people, to bring people who were hopeless to the hope. If you lay this down, which I'm not going to, you lay it straight down, it becomes a bridge, Odie, between a great gulf, a deep valley. And as that bridge lays across that valley, it becomes hope to people who can find powerful freedom in their pursuit of God. So it becomes a bridge. It connects the hopeless to hope. It connects the people who are broken to the healer who can heal them. So today, my challenge to you, and the Holy Ghost's challenge to all of us today, is that we love sinners. I'm not going to like necessary things that you do, but I'm going to love you. I'm going to aggravate you till you either one, number one, you're going to move up or you're going to move out. I give my own name, the Pesty Pastor. But I'm going to aggravate you to, number one, you get a hold of it or you leave. Because God is about you walking in powerful freedom. For this ministry to fulfill a mandate from God, a call from God, to reach where other people do not want to reach, to love people that other people don't love. And God's starting today with you. Because you're here today, God loves you. He loves you. Do you hear me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? He loves you. Nothing you can do would make him love you more. So all the good deeds, all the Girl Scout, Boy Scout deeds you do are not going to make him love you anymore. He just loves you. That's hard for me to wrap my mind around. He just loves you. And no matter what you may have done in this room today, he can never love you any less than what he loves you. He's not going to love you any better than he loves me. And he's not going to love me any better than he does you, Rick. The fact is, he loves us all. Everybody shout, all. He gave his blood for all. Not the shiny people. Not the good people. Jesus says, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. What would be the need of me coming and calling the righteous? They're already good. He says, I come to call the unrighteous. I come to heal the sick, not those that are already well. There are people in this room that are sick. You're sin sick. Life's burdens and troubles and problems have weighed you down and you have a heavy load this morning. Bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Say that again. Bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely lead you out. Just bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Lord, I have a burden this morning. My heart is heavy. Lord, I'm burdened. We live in such desperate times, Lord. And I'm burdened, Lord. Save your people, Lord. Save them. Let the power, the message of the cross burn in our hearts. Deliver us from religious complacency and apathy, Lord. And give us a burden that will challenge us to move and help people, Lord. That's my prayer, Lord, this morning. I've come to the cross many times, Lord. And I'm coming this morning, Lord. If you're here today and you carry the burden, I'm going to challenge you to come. Quit playing, church. Quit playing. You can't play with God. Bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Don't come with a heart that's burdened, calloused with sin, and leave like you've got it all figured out. Bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Kathy, I've never been so burdened in all my life. Jenny, I've never been so burdened. And I'm not trying to be emotional. I'm not trying to mess people up this morning. I'm asking you to understand the mission that Christ has called us to be about. Do I understand it? I'll know. But Lord, where you lead, I'll follow. Because you see, my life is not just about a building. It's not just about a person. It's about a life to be lived and following Christ. And with all my heart, Josh, I want to follow Him. I really want to follow Him. Sometimes, Regan, I don't know if I'm following Him or not. Can I be honest with you? Jenny, can I be honest? Sometimes I don't know if I'm following Him or not. You'll say, whoa, you're a pastor. I'm being real. Is there any real people here today with me? Are you still living in fantasy land somewhere? Bring your burden to the Lord. Larry, bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Trust and never doubt, because He's going to lead you out. So this is my call. The Holy Ghost call. Bring it to the Lord and leave it there. I'm not going to do 1, 2, 3. I'm not going to do any magical tricks. If you've got a burden to bear, bring it to the Lord right now and leave it here. Come. I'm not asking you to stand. I'm not going to prime you. I'm not going to pump you. I'm not going to push you. I'm saying if you've got a burden to bring to the Lord, bring it and leave it there. If you have a problem with sin or your own sin or someone else's sin, it's not for you to try to fix other people's sin. Do you understand what I just said? It's not your place to try to fix other people's sin. Bring them to the cross. Lord, I'm trusting that everybody in this room that heard your voice is satisfied right now at this place in their life. If not, I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost would move in their life right now and bring people. Bring people, Lord. Draw people. Draw people. Right here, somebody come and pray with this young man right here. Bring a burden to the Lord and leave it there. Bring a burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, bring a burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, bring a burden to the Lord and just leave it there. Just leave it there. Just leave it there. Just leave it there. Come on. If you'll trust and never doubt, He's going to surely lead you out. So bring your burden. So bring your burden. So bring your burden to the Lord. Bring the burden of sin. Come on, friend. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Right now, come to the Lord. Everybody in here right now that needs the Lord to move in your life in any situation, any way, shape, form, or fashion, come right now. We're going to stand to our feet, and I want you to come in all one motion. Come on, there's room at the cross for me. 1, 2, 3, come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. People will move out of the way. Just come, just come, just come and bring it to the Lord. Just bring it to the Lord.